Welcome to Hacking Your ADHD. I'm your host, William Kerb, and I have ADHD. On this podcast, I dig into the tools, tactics, and best practices to help you work with your ADHD brain. Hey team, today on the podcast, we're exploring the lighter side of living with ADHD, featuring the hilariously honest Ellie Hino. A stand-up comic who finds humor in the everyday, Ellie has featured for comics such as Maria Bamford, Lori Kilmartin, and Atsuko Akatsa. She recently released her debut album, Soft Bones. In our conversation today, she brings her personal journey with ADHD into the spotlight, sharing stories and strategies that hit home. We discussed getting a diagnosis later in life, getting started on medication, impulsivity, and time management. This episode is packed with relatable stories and actionable tips for tackling the day-to-day hurdles of ADHD. Whether you're newly diagnosed or a seasoned pro, or just curious, you'll find valuable insights and plenty to relate to. If you'd like to follow along on the show notes page, you can find that at hackingyouradhd.com/179. I also wanted to let you know about the Hacking Your ADHD newsletter, Any and All Distractions. And that's what this newsletter is all about. The things that have caught my interest over the past week that I think also might be interesting to you. In it, I bring you the top things of the week that have caught my attention from the world of ADHD and beyond. If that sounds like something you'd like in your inbox, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/newsletter and sign up. All right, keep on listening to find out how a trip on a roller coaster can lead to a way to getting an ADHD diagnosis. All right, well, it's great to have you on the show. And let's start with your ADHD journey. I think that'd be a great place to start, and then we can kind of pivot into some of the comedy stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me. I was actually diagnosed not too long ago, maybe about 5 years ago, and I'm in my 40s. So I always knew that I had it. Mm-hmm. I would joke about it all the time, and people would joke about it with me. So one day I was looking up ADHD symptoms because I'm a mom, and right mm-hmm. now my child is 8 years old. And when he was about 3 or something, I was just curious, what are the signs and symptoms of ADHD in a kid? And then I started seeing all of these lists pop up about signs and symptoms for adult ADHD. And I saw some words in there like easily frustrated and has trouble, you know, controlling emotions or impulsive stuff. It just really struck me. And I was like, wait, is this all of the things that I struggle with so much in day-to-day life and the things that make my life hard? And so I got tested and I got the 4-hour test done mm-hmm. and it was very fascinating. So I was diagnosed then and it made a lot of sense.
I mean, there's so many things there where I'm just like, yep. I mean, especially with parents, and especially moms, looking into ADHD for their kids and then being like, huh.
Hold on. Because I had joked about it, but I just never thought of it as a problem. I always thought like, yeah, but what am I going to do about it? I was like, I'm not interested in taking anything for it, which I totally do now. I absolutely take medication and it changed my life for the better. But yeah, the guy who tested me, the psychologist, told me that almost all of the adults he diagnoses with ADHD are mothers of young children mm-hmm. because we were okay just with ourselves. We made it work. And then all of a sudden, so much responsibility, and it just became so obvious. And the distractions are so strong when you have a toddler.
Yeah. The trend I noticed too is that with women, there's like a stronger inclination towards inattentive ADHD, which mainly affects yourself. Whereas like you have the classic young boy that's being super rambunctious, that's affecting everyone else. And so like they're going to get the diagnosis because they're bothering everyone. You know, you're bothering yourself. People are like, oh, yeah, they're just quirky.
Yeah, I have both. And I think my impulsive stuff, that's where I really struggle, actually. So I think there is some hyperactivity with me. I mean, less now that I'm in my mid-40s. But there's a lot of difficulty with stopping and thinking and making good choices.
Well, it's really funny with like the impulsivity, because we like think of it like as like this, oh, you're going to get out of your chair or you're going to be, you know, running around and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's also like being like, I'm going to make this really rash decision right now and then be like, oh, no, that was a terrible idea.
Yeah. I was actually trying to explain it to my husband the other day. And he was like, well, it's more like you get obsessed with something almost. And I was like, no, it's like, honestly, the thing that made it so obvious to me was during my ADHD testing, there was a specific test that he had me do where I like pressed a space bar every time an X popped up on the screen. I remember noticing that I just was pressing the space bar, even though I hadn't decided to. It was like, my body was making that choice for me. My brain was making that choice without me.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you have to push the button.
Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. That's not an X, you know?
Yeah. And it's also funny because I'm like, I want to score so well on these tests when I take them.
Sure, of course.
I'm going to ace this test that as an assessment of who I am.
I
What is going on in my brain there?
know. It's very interesting. And of course, that's like a very tiny picture of it, but then it's big thing. You know, honestly, on my comedy album, I tell a story about taking my baby on a roller coaster when he was a baby, which was a poor choice. And it was not a big one, and it was totally fine, and everyone's okay. It was just a little thing, but it went a lot faster than I thought it was going to. It was honestly one of the last things I did before I was like, ooh, something's wrong with my brain.
Those like aha moments where you're like, oh, this is not how I think normal people think. I'm not normal how other people are.
Exactly.
I just want to make sure for listeners, like, yeah, it's not. Our brains are fine. It's not like we're abnormal and it's weird. It's
Oh,
just
yeah.
we think differently.
We think a lot differently. We really like fun. At least I do. I really like fun. And
Yeah, it's
that
like.
roller coaster looked really fun. And it was. It just wasn't a super well thought out decision.
I mean, I think that's the perfect example of impulsivity. It's like, oh, I want to do this thing. It'll be fine. I'll do it. And then, like, partway through, I'm like, I did not think this through. I thought I had. That's one of the really interesting things with the ADHD, too, is because we have this visual from pop culture of it, like this being quirky and all these things. And then when you look up the symptoms, you're like, oh, this is different. This is not just quirky. This is impairing in weird ways.
Yeah, that's why I went and got tested because I realized these are the things that I really struggle with that make me depressed and make me anxious. And I remember my therapist even said, like, I'm sorry I didn't see this. And we kept just talking about regular anxiety this whole time because it's pretty clear where a lot of that anxiety comes from now.
Yeah, I was thinking about this just recently with I'm rarely late to things despite my ADHD, but it's because it manifests as this like huge anxiety about what time things start. And I'm like checking the clock constantly. It's like, oh, this is a bad coping strategy that I've developed.
Yeah, I remember with being late one time, I used to have this job at a comedy theater, and I lived literally right behind the comedy theater. So I just had to walk out my door through an alley to the door. It was incredible. But I would still be late. And I remember my coworker and friend was like, I don't know how you do it. You just decide that something else is more important in the time. And I was like, no, absolutely not. That is wrong. I am so focused on getting there on time. My brain just decides things take less time than they do, even though I know how long it takes to put on my shoes and walk down the stairs. But in the moment, I think I can do it faster.
And it's also funny when you get like the opposite side of things where I'm like, man, I'm not going to hang up my coat. That's going to take forever. I'm like, that
Oh
takes
my
2 seconds.
gosh.
Why am I just throwing my coat on the floor all the time?
Seriously, my number one ADHD hack is hooks. Hooks everywhere. My husband laughs at me because he's like, you're obsessed with hooks. And it's because, yeah, a hanger on a bar, taking that off, putting my coat on that, no way. That takes too long. I won't do it. But I will hang it on a hook if it's in the right place.
I love command hooks because I can just stick them wherever I need them.
For sure.
This is a great place for this. This is where this is going. And if I'm wrong, I can take it down.
Yeah. One time we lived in an apartment. We have our own house now, but when we were renting, one of the apartments we rented was previously lived in by the owners. And, you know, usually apartments are not lived in by anyone who owns it. But because they had lived there and they had money, it was like everything was very functional. And it was awesome. There was like a place for everything and everything was well thought out where it was. It was kind of mind blowing and it helped me a lot with organizing and just realizing like, okay, if your shampoo bottle doesn't fit there, let's figure out a place for it to go so that it doesn't just end up on the floor or whatever, you know.
Yeah, always great when you have been experiencing some of the downfalls of my current house does not have a lot of like storage things. And so we're like trying to be like, stuff is just going everywhere. And it's like really frustrating when we're like, we want to put stuff away, but we don't know where to. And it's,
yeah,
like, this is making it doubly messy for us.
Ugh, that's so hard. I have 1 million closets, but most of them are not functional. The one in my bedroom, I just took the doors off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never hang things up. And I found that with a dresser, I honestly would just put things in a pile anyway. So now I just have places where clean piles can be. Yep. And some of them get folded and put on the shelves that are there too. But it's like I can see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps a lot, actually.
Yeah, it is amazing how much having that visual like access to like, oh, I don't have to like mentally picture what's available. I can just visually scan it, go, okay, this is what I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
My closet, I just have like baskets now. I went away from dressers. And
baskets, that's great. Yes, that's pretty much what I have too.
Yeah.
Little bins. Bins and shelves.
Yeah, at some point I should get like real ones. Right now they're filing boxes.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, like
that's part of it, isn't it? Like you look and you think, okay, well, I have been trying not to have a pile of clothes my whole life. And there is always a pile of clothes. And like, I know there's a dirty pile over there and there's a clean pile over here. What if I just didn't try to change that, but I made the pile have a place to be?
Yeah, exactly. It's working within the system that already exists. It's like, okay, this is what I do. Can I modify this so that I'm not quite as embarrassed if someone else sees it?
Right, exactly.
So for me, it seems like a natural extension to do comedy with ADHD because we're somewhat ridiculous people. Is that something you found on your journey into going into comedy?
I mean, I did comedy long before I ever really knew I had ADHD for sure. I did theater when I was young, and then I did improv and sketch. Improv is interesting. I mean, a lot of people in both comedy, like stand-up comedy and improv comedy, have ADHD. I would say 90%. But like improv, you're literally turning off the part of your brain kind of that's judging you and stopping you from doing things. So being impulsive and being able to easily access your impulsive first feelings and thoughts is really helpful. So yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm more high energy, I think, than a lot of stand-up. Stand-up goes through trends of what's the style as of late, and I think it's changing now. But for a while, it was very low energy and like observational. So I kind of stuck out for a while as, whoo, she's got a lot of energy.
And I think it just helps to be like, yeah, I think comedy is also a great way to cope with my ADHD where I like see something and I'm just like, you know, it's like, oh, man, I did this in the dumbest way possible. And rather than be like beating myself up about it, being like, and that's hilarious because I could have saved myself so much work.
Absolutely. A lot of my comedy is self-deprecating. I mean, there's a confidence behind it that makes it not annoying and sad, but it's very self-aware.
That's such a vital piece of it too. Because yeah, a lot of people like when they go into the self-deprecation, it's like in a place where it's the shitty voice in the back of their head, that's where that self-deprecation is coming from. Whereas if it's coming from like, I did a dumb thing, but wow.
You know what? I'm definitely not the only person who's done a thing like this. And maybe some other people would find this amusing.
Absolutely. So you have a new album coming out. Your first one, right?
Yeah, it just came out. It's my first album. It's called Soft Bones. And you can find it anywhere that comedy albums exist.
Mike, where do comedy albums exist?
iTunes, Spotify, Pandora.
The funny thoughts that pop in, you're like, they exist places. Oh, yeah. I know where those places are.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I've been getting so much ADHD comedy on YouTube recently. Like, the algorithm's just like, we've probably when I started watching some of your stuff that was before we booked, and I was like, oh, and it's like, oh, this is what you want.
Oh, for sure. They know. They always know. TikTok has me pegged real good.
TikTok thinks I'm a lesbian, which is a little strange, but...
They think I am too, but they're not totally wrong.
Yeah. I'm like, I have very similar interests, but...
I love that TikTok thinks everyone's a lesbian, and that is fun.
It is amazing what the algorithms will decide about you. And then you're like, well, I mean, I know so many people that like have gone through their diagnosis because of that, because they're like, yeah, TikTok thinks I have ADHD. And then people are like, well, why do you think TikTok thinks that?
Exactly.
Like, well,
I think everyone has ADHD. Everyone I meet, I'm like, I have ADHD.
It is funny how, like, once you, like, kind of get to, like, oh, especially within, like, friend groups, you're just like, oh, this is kind of why we're all friends.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Don't annoy the crap out of each other with our idiosyncrasies here. I do find a lot of, like, neurodivergent people flock together because it's just like, they're like, oh, you get my brain. Great.
Yeah.
Let me info dump on you about this subject and you're going to be probably fascinated too.
Sure. Also, though, I find that sometimes I meet someone and I'm like, oh, they really bug me. And I'm like, why do I dislike them? Or why do they irritate me? And then I'm like, oh, it's because they're me. All the things that bug me about me, I can see so clearly.
Yeah. There's definitely like, I was at a ADHD conference last November and I was like sitting in a room with everyone with ADHD. And I'm like, I am noticing everyone fidgeting right now. This is not great.
Yeah.
This is distracting me from listening to anything.
That would be hard.
And then I'm like, I know why they're doing it, but
everyone sit still.
Let me concentrate. And I'm going to still use my fidget toy, but mine's quiet and it's fine. There's so many fun sides of ADHD too, that it is like, yeah, like as you said, you really like fun, and ADHD people also tend to really like fun. And it's just like, oh yeah, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. We're going to find the way to get our dopamine. If we can't have it naturally, we will produce it.
We'll find a way. Yeah. Hopefully it will be good for everyone. Cause
yes, a healthy way.
I know some people that do it through arguing and I'm like, can we not?
Oh really? Does that release dopamine?
Well, not exactly, but like the attention and the like animation, like it can for certain people. Like for me, I just like,
the intensity,
like this is upsetting and I hate it. But yeah, like it is
very
invigorating for some people to be like, I'm going to like win.
That makes sense, I guess. It's like, it's stimulating. So sure. Okay. Interesting.
That's why I think I have trouble with social media sometimes, because I'm like, I'm going and finding stimulation in things I don't want to be reading.
I'll yeah.
Be like, I'm reading these angry comment sections and getting myself annoyed. And I'm like, oh, this is really stimulating. That's why I keep open these comments on YouTube or Reddit or something. Cause I know I'm not going to enjoy what I read, but it is my brain seeking out some sort of stimulation.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
I do know that is a habit that some people have where they're like, yeah, I need that stimulation somewhere. And I'm just going to do it in a terrible way.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about the like negative emotions are also very stimulating.
Yeah. Yeah. Or doing it through food or, I mean,
sure.
I mean, that's fun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I hear you on that.
I had friends where we'd be like, we're going to go to this food court. Everyone has to get a taco, some pizza, and a hamburger. And we're going to eat them all together. And we're going to see who can get to the table first. And I'm like, you know, in retrospect, maybe those guys aren't neurotypical.
Yeah, that's pretty aggressive.
And like the guy that came up with it was like, you know, I meant this like for like the entire day. And we're like, no, we're doing it as a meal.
Right now. It's funny.
Yeah. I mean, that was after like we'd go to a Frisbee tournament and do that afterwards. So we'd been running around all day. So
that's awesome. I love it.
We were hungry, but I'm just...
He's like, I'm not eating my burger, my pizza, and my taco in my car alone like everyone else. I'm going to invite all my friends and make them do it too.
And you don't want to get like the worst versions. Like, okay, let's get a good burger. Let's get some good pizza.
Heck yeah.
Well, I've had a pleasure talking to you. Is there anything you want to leave the audience with?
Thanks for listening and buy some more hooks, hang them around. That's my main advice.
Well, I think people will enjoy it and they should definitely go check out your album. As we said, anywhere that comedy albums are sold, they can figure it out. If I can figure it out.
For sure.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for having me, Will.
Thanks again to Ellie for coming on the show, and thank you for staying with us all the way to the end. Be sure to check out Ellie's new album, Soft Bones. But before you go, let's do a quick rundown of today's top tips. 1. Make living spaces ADHD friendly with functional organization and storage solutions that work for you. Think of using hooks instead of traditional hangers or bins and baskets for clothes instead of keeping your clothes tucked away in a dresser. 2. We can channel our impulsivity into creative outlets like comedy or improv that allow us to embrace the zozards of ourselves on a regular basis without us having to go over the top in other situations. 3. Acknowledge and plan for the real time it takes to do tasks. While it may feel like it only takes minutes for us to get out the door, we need to acknowledge all the steps involved if we want to have an accurate picture of how long things take. I also wanted to let you know about the Hacking Your ADHD newsletter, Any and All Distractions. And that's what this newsletter is all about. If that sounds like something you'd like in your inbox, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/newsletter and sign up. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear what you thought of this episode. Feel free to connect with me over at hackingyouradhd.com/contact. If you'd like links or to read this episode's transcript, you can go to the show notes page at hackingyouradhd.com/148. If you'd like to support the show, the best way to do so is to tell somebody about the show, especially if you'd think they'd like a particular episode. Just click the share button on your podcast player and send it over to them. And now for your moment of dad. The past, the present, and the future went into a bar. Things got tense.